Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we're going to continue in our studies the preeminence of Christ. We wish to consider particularly today his preeminence in the matter of his fellowship with us. We will begin the broadcast by reading again the theme portion of Scripture which introduces this wonderful subject. And as we said on the last broadcast, if we do nothing else but fasten these verses in the mind of the listener with all their majesty and all their glorification of Christ, the broadcast will be of worth, real worth to the soul. We read there in the first chapter of Colossians, beginning at verse 13, his dear son, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created, in the heavens, that is, that are in heaven, and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, or dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, he is the antecedent, and he, by him all things consist, he maintains them. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Godhead that in him all fullness should dwell. This wonderful portion of Scripture introduces the subject, but we have chosen to introduce it to our listeners in his preeminence in creation, that is, in the animate world, the inanimate world, the spiritual world, that is the world of the spirits, and then in connection with the church. His preeminence in redemption, his preeminence in love, in service, and in today, with the help of the Lord, his preeminence in the matter of our fellowship. What composes fellowship? Well, it's simply two fellows that are friends and share. He is a fellow. The Christ took up humanity that he might be a fellow with us. We read this in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 11 and 13. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. All humanity. His carnation, of course, here is spoken of. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And again I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Christ became incarnate, that we might understand God, that we might see him, and that the people of that day might feel him, feel the warmth of his body, feel the touch of his hand. And he became incarnate, that he might form this basis of fellowship. Now we're going to talk about the community in that fellowship, the community of interest, the community of suffering, and the community of sharing and glory. Then we're going to talk about the community of our interests. That's a part of fellowship, people with mutual interests. And then we'll talk about the community of friendliness. Now, in this matter of fellowship, we have a community of interest. If that interest is made into a community by our relationship to the Father. The Lord Jesus, in John chapter 20 and verse 17, he says there, Jesus said unto her, that is to Mary, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren rather and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. We have a common Father. We have a community of interest in pleasing that Father, in loving that Father. And then there is a community of suffering. We read in John chapter 15, verses 19 and 20, where the Lord says there, if ye were of the world would love you. The world, rather, would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have not kept my saying, neither will they keep yours. Now you see, this is a community of interest, our relationship to the Father, and then our sharing of the suffering from the world. Now the sharing of the Lord Jesus was preeminent in that matter to ours. His suffering was greater. Paul's experience was in Philippians 3 and 10. We read there, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto death. The strongest friendships probably in this world are formed on the battlefield, where they have suffered together. And Paul's experience, he wants to suffer with Christ. Now, Christ's pain, our pain rather, is physical, but his pain was spiritual. Oh, the awful pain of separation from God when he died on the cross for our sins, that he might bring us salvation. Oh, how terrible his pain was. And then we will share with him in his glory. We read in Romans chapter 8 and verse 17, and if children, then heirs, that applies to us, he's writing to the Romans, they were Gentile peoples, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Suffering makes a bond of fellowship. And when we suffer together, we're also going to be glorified together, and the Lord tells us that. So we see we have a community of fellowship in this matter of just being fellows. He came down to our level that he might lift us up to his level. He became incarnate. And then there's the community of interest. That is, of doing the Father's will. We read in John chapter 8, verse 29, and he that hath sent me, and the Lord is the speaker, and he that hath sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Here we have the Father's will in question. Now, he cares for the church. That's a part of his Father's will, is to care for his church. And Christ's ministry in the church is through the church members. God loves that church. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We read in Ephesians 5 and 20. Now let's talk about Christ's ministry at the church, but it's through us. He's the head. We are the body. Now we read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Christ compares the church to a human body. And that body is composed of an infinite number of parts. It has been well said, and I like to repeat this over the air. There's a greater universe lies within the confines of the human body than in all the rest of the universe outside of that body. We have many parts inside, parts that are hidden. We take the pancreas, for instance. Suppose the pancreas says, well, now I'm a part of the body, but nobody sees me, nobody appreciates me, nobody ever thinks about me. When was the last time you thought about your pancreas? Now, suppose the pancreas would say, I'm just going to quit. Nobody appreciates me. We'd soon die of diabetes unless the proper precautions were taken. And that is true of the pituitary gland up in the brain. It's about the size of a small walnut. It governs all the grain, actually all the other glands of the body. Now, the pituitary gland is never seen, but it's important. And Paul seeks to impress upon the church, you are important. God placed you where he wants you to be in that church for the health of the church. And there's a community of interest in that church. And the community of the interest is the salvation of the lost around us. Thank God Christ died for the ungodly, and that church is here in the world to testify of that fact and to lead people to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, yes, here's a community of interest. And then there is the community of friendliness. We read, for instance, in John chapter 15, verses 14 to 16, these words of our Lord Jesus. He says, "Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I initiated this contact and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." He says, "Ye are my friends." Now, he calls us his friends. We have a right to call him our friend. And the best friend is Jesus. All that wonderful friendship that he bears toward you and me. There's something exciting about friends. We choose our friends. Our relatives, we must accept. Now, don't misunderstand me. Our relatives can be our friends as well as those that are not our relatives. For instance, there is the saying, a girl's best friend is her mother. And indeed, we have friends, and we choose those friends. Isn't it marvelous to think that the Lord chose us? We didn't choose him. Why? He must have the preeminence. It initiated with Christ, this beautiful friendship that he has. Now, friends have common interests. Friends have confidences, and the Lord Jesus starts sharing those confidences with his church, with his disciples, rather. They became his church later after Pentecost. He says in verse 15, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." Friends share confidences. And our Lord Jesus creates lasting results through his ministry in us because of the fact that we are friends of his. Let's go over these points again. We have a community of fellowship, a community of interest, a community of friendliness. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord Jesus says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." Oh, the friendship of our Lord Jesus. Father, today we thank you for him, and we pray that you will increase our respect for the Lord and for his preeminence. In his name, amen.